Five.
And here we go.
Okay, let's run.
Let's count them down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Top 5 Film Dive. I'm your host, as always, Mr. Kurt Morrison, reporting to you live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And on today's episode, we take a dive in the Infinity Pool, directed by none other than Brandon Cronenberg. Then we hear a knock at the cabin. M. Night Shyamalan's new horror coming out in 2 weeks. And here to discuss it is my main man and very good friend, Mr. Good News, Bad News, Mr. Tyler Banark Reviews. Mr. Tyler Banark, how are you, my sir?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's a good day. I can't wait to get into this.
Yeah, buddy. Me too. How have you been? Tell everybody what's going on the Tyler Banark Reviews movies front.
I've been doing good. Not a whole lot's been going on. I just, it's New Year. Got moved into a new place. Still in Omaha. Awesome. We're Leagues of Mouse is going strong. I just did a matchup with that with my buddy JC. Shout out to Rick the Movies and Gil and Ryan, we face off against. Not a whole lot other than that. Just been chilling out, just living life.
Cool, man. Very cool.
Yeah.
So guys, Tyler is a very close friend of mine, obviously in the League of Cinephiles. Most of you guys who are listening or who haven't listened, this is how Ty and I met. And we are part of this big giant group, the Critics Circle, the League of Cinephiles. Please check out our League of Cinephiles channel run by none other than Mr. Alex Helmer on YouTube. As Ty just mentioned, he had a great match last night with his partner, JC, Mark at the Movies. So please check that out. It is available now on YouTube. To start off the show, we got a couple of movies we want to discuss, and this is more of a chop talk style episode here that I would run with Mr. Jack Reno and Dave Gonzalez there. This is very, very horror and thriller oriented today. So there's three things I want to talk about. I'm just going to quickly dive into number one, because you've seen something and I haven't seen something. And it's the talk of the town right now, and is a $15,000, they are calling it micro-budgeted horror movie. That out of four of you who I hang out with on a regular basis in our League of Cinephiles chat, all hate the movie Skinamarink. Please justify your answer, because I'm very confused.
Skinamarink, for those of you who don't know, it's this movie from that's like, it's an hour 40 minutes long. It's from Canada, where you're from, Kurt. And it's this low budget movie about these two kids who wake up in the middle of the night, parents are gone, and apparently all the doors and windows are missing. Okay. And the whole movie is just it'll test your patience. You'll definitely feel the runtime.
Okay.
I saw a trailer for it, and a lot of people say they like love it.
Yeah.
Then you got people like, you know, be like our pal Dave, who said that he would rather watch his daughter's baby monitor or paint dry than, you know, watch this movie again. And honestly, I don't blame him. I thought it was, you know, they tried going somewhere with it and didn't work. I will say there's one jump scare in the movie that like really got me good, and it was like the best jump scare I've seen in a long time.
That's the one thing I'll give
the movie props to. There's one payoff to it.
Okay.
Kurt, if you haven't seen it yet, I think you should check it out. I'm curious to see what you would think of it
when
you
see it. So yourself, Dave, my co-host on Chop Talk, Dev Stafford, our buddy who came to TIFF, and Chad Clark at Love
Reviews.
He gave it a 0.5 out of 5 or 10, I think, yesterday. And I was like, oh, no, Chad. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's not gone into many theaters, up here in Canada. It's not even in Toronto, which is usually not a good sign. But I know it is going to Shudder as of next month. So maybe I'll save a couple bucks.
Yeah.
So it hits my Shudder streaming service, which leads us now into this weekend's big release, which is Infinity Pool. Now we've got quite the two heavy hitters here. Alexander Skarsgård, my guy. And I would say the queen of the script. I don't know. Actually, maybe Jenna Ortega might've taken that. Maybe a close second.
Maybe. Yeah. Close second. Maybe. Yeah.
Mia Goth, who gave us X and Pearl last year in 2022. Mm-hmm. Now, this is directed by, again, ironically enough, another Canadian, Mr. Brendan Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg. Mm-hmm. And Infinity Pool has gotten, again, some very mixed reviews before its big release tonight, or I guess I should say tomorrow going into this weekend. Do you have any interest in seeing this film? Have you checked out the trailer, Ty?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for Infinity Pool, and it looks bizarre.
Yeah.
So like that's not a surprise there. Mm-hmm. Would I see it though? I'm not sure. I think it would take a lot of convincing for me to go check it out. I mean, I know it's Brendan Cronenberg, and you know, he's son of David Cronenberg, and like, you know, I don't have much experience in Cronenberg and his style, but you know, I mean, if it's like father, like son, you know, maybe, but you know. I don't know. I guess it all depends on, you know, how a lot of people say about it. What a lot of people say about it.
So our buddy Dave Gonzalez as well, again, hated this film. He told me I would hate this film. I don't know if he liked it or not. I couldn't really decipher what he was trying to say. Dave, I do apologize. Yeah. I'm always paying attention to you. I love you. It's a very long day these days. So to kind of pick up off something you just said there, you haven't seen Possessor, which was Brendan Cronenberg's first film, correct?
Yes, I have not seen that either.
Yeah, not something I loved. I thought that the aesthetic and the effort was there. I didn't really like the payoff, and I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Gotcha.
That being said, I am interested in this movie. To everybody out there, there is a 7-minute long orgy scene through a kaleidoscope in this. That's always interesting. So that might put butts in seats. Not a heavy breathing on a Saturday night in a movie theater. But yeah, I'm interested. I don't think this is going to make a lot of money at all. I don't think Possessor even cracked like $5 million. Again, I'm not going to check the numbers quick. Yeah. But I don't know right now if post-Avatar and pre-Ant-Man, this is the movie that people are going to go rush out to see this weekend. So I'm going to predict for box office for opening weekend this weekend that it maybe makes $2 million. Ty, your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's gotten a lot of, you know, there's been some buzz about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, outside of horror movies and outside of superhero movies and big blockbusters, mm-hmm. I think the second genre of films that have been drawing people back to theaters has been horror. I will say, I'd say about, look from there, maybe like 3 million, I guess.
Cool. And last but not least of the next couple of weeks here, and I wanted to talk with you about this because I think you and I have discussed in the past, and maybe it was on an episode of League of Cinephiles, M. Night Shyamalan is probably the most like divisive director working.
Yeah.
Where it's either a big hit or it's a big miss amongst film viewers and or film lovers, I should say, for that fact. Yeah. And he has Knock at the Cabin coming out on February 3rd. So next week.
Yeah.
Which, if I remember correctly here, is the weekend before Super Bowl weekend?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think Super Bowl's on 12th. Yeah.
Which is usually a good sign, because if you put a movie out before Super Bowl weekend, you make a little bit of chunk of change, and then usually Super Bowl weekend is always dead on a Sunday, because everybody's got their butts at home watching the big game. So, my first question here is M. Night Shyamalan on track for another hit? Thoughts?
I did a little bit of a deep dive into M. Night Shyamalan back in 2021 before leading up to Old. Mm-hmm. I saw quite a few of his movies.
Yeah.
And I don't like the guy. I don't like his films. I will straight up say that I'm not an M. Night Shyamalan fan.
Yeah.
Knock at the Cabin. I think it's gonna be kind of interesting.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll see it or not, but I think the big thing that I'm curious to see come out of it is Dave Bautista.
Yes.
And I say that because I remember saying a little bit ago when he announced that he was leaving, when Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be his last movie playing Drax, he said something like, I don't want to be the next Dwayne Johnson. I want to be a respected actor, a good actor. And it got me thinking, like, maybe Kurt, you could share your thoughts on this too, but like, do people actually see him as like a respected actor? And like, I'm genuinely asking that out of curiosity.
That's a phenomenal question. Oh my God.
Do people actually see him as that?
I don't, I think he, that's a really good question. Holy crap. You flipped the script on here. I think Bautista is like this guy that's kind of gone under the radar, because you got your Rock, your bigger, you're kind of larger than life guy. The Rock, who's been, again, basically for the last 20 years now, he's been in Hollywood. I think his Scorpion King was 2003, if I remember. And then you got John Cena, who's like kind of like slowly crept his way in, but like again has this kind of like page
persona to him.
Page turn every year with Peacemaker. But like Batista's, I really like him, and I don't know if it's like he's a respected actor yet, but if you want to again get more eyes on you, you get away from this MC. You already essentially established yourself as a character actor in the MC, a goofy character actor in the MC. And now you know, you kind of align yourself with like the right people, and I think that you know, he's done so with Denis Villeneuve with Dune. He's obviously doing this
Blade Runner 2049.
Blade Runner 2049. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, I think he's a respected actor? I think he's respected, and I think he's really well liked in the industry, and everybody enjoys working with him. Like Rian Johnson said the same thing about him when they found Glass Onion. Like Rian Johnson was speaking his praises, which is phenomenal to hear and read, right? Do I think out of those three former wrestlers, he becomes the biggest? I think if we're looking at box office numbers, he's already accomplished that, right? You put your foot in the door with the three Avengers movies, and there you go. So Knock at the Cabin is being projected to make, that's a very big gross for a Shyamalan movie, $18 to $27 million on its opening weekend, on its way anywhere between 50 to 80 is what Box Office Pro thinks is going to happen. I think that if this is a really good movie, unlike Old, because that was it's literally one of my least favorite movies I've ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah, same here.
I think it was the second movie I've ever given an F to on Top 5 Film Dive. My other F is very debatable, but anyways, between people. I think that this has legs. I think this has traction, right? Because there's not really anything other than Ant-Man coming out after that. So if you dominate that February 3rd weekend, and then the weekend after that, it has a good turnover, like a really slow decline, you've got 2 weeks to make as much cash as possible before Ant-Man comes out. So if you were to pick a favorite and a least favorite of his, what would they be?
Least favorite, easy, Old.
For you as well. Wow, okay.
Yeah, but I say my favorite, I'd say probably Sixth Sense or Signs, one of those two.
Yeah,
I'd say Sixth Sense or Signs for me.
I think I'd go with Signs, and I say Signs because it's Mel, Joaquin, and there's like a lot of like good comedic moments in through it, and there's some genuinely good scares. I mean, he follows it up with The Village 2 years after, and like that's where you kind of have like this like decline for about 10 years where it's like Lady in the Water, The Happening, Last Airbender, After Earth, and it's like oh man, that's about 9 years of like really not good movies. But and Old's easily my least favorite of him. I was so mad while I was watching it. I went in with very high expectations, and was sorely disappointed. I think Knock at the Cabin does 34. What do you think?
Okay. You said 27 for Megan on its opening weekend.
I'll double check my numbers there. I think it made $27 million on its opening weekend, and then it had a lot of traction these last couple of weeks. So opening weekend, let me just double check here. Oh, I'm sorry, $30 million. $30 million.
Okay. $3 million. Okay. I'm gonna say it's probably going to draw about, say, $24 million.
Okay.
That'd be my guess.
Less than that. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. We shall see. And ladies and gentlemen, we will of course report back on the Top 5 Film Dive social media. So that leads us in. And this is a lot of fun. And I ladies and gentlemen, I changed the topic on Tyler, and God love his patience and the fact that he's the most sweethearted, patient person I've ever met in my life. Because I literally changed the idea for the show about 15 minutes before we were going to start doing this. Today's episode, and today's, I'm going to call it not even top five. It's actually going to be a top 12. And what we're doing is the horror thriller draft. Now, I've done an episode of this before with Gavin Coscarella for Halloween. And what we did in that episode was we actually ended up drafting particular genres. Now, what Tyler and I are going to do, we're going to be trying to draft between 2010 and 2022, one film, whether horror or thriller, every year, in not necessarily sequential order. Now, this is also something that I meant to mention to you. Oh, yeah. So you don't have to go, your first movie is a 2010 movie. You could do, for example, 2016 and choose The Conjuring 2. You could do 2013 and choose The Evil Dead 2. Whatever gets picked first gets picked, and then it is off the board. I have I have basically decided that Tyler, as the guest of the show and guest of honor, is going to be the first person to be picking today.
Okay.
And what I want him to do is start off with either a horror or a thriller movie to lead it off with the first overall pick.
Okay. All right. I'll start things off. I will say I'm going with a thriller movie. It's from 2014. Okay. And I absolutely love this movie to death. It's Nightcrawler, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Riz Ahmed. It's a fun movie. Jake Gyllenhaal is my favorite Jake Gyllenhaal performance. Riz Ahmed is also very fantastic in it. It's, I haven't watched it in a while, but I need to give this a rewatch. But I love this movie, and it should have gotten more love than it did back in 2014. And it's number two in my 2014 year, right behind Whiplash.
So we have between 2010 and 2022. I'm going to go with a surefire hit here. And I think going with this, I'd say this is probably the most talked about horror movie. I don't know if it's necessarily the best, but the most talked about horror movie in the last decade. And it's from 2017. I'm going with Jordan Peele's Get Out. Okay.
Okay.
So what hasn't been said about this? Obviously nominated for numerous Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Peele, a screenplay, Oscar, kind of Daniel Kaluuya's like burst out role.
Obviously, yeah, his breakout role.
Allison Williams mm-hmm. back into the forefront after, or I should say Wild Girls is going on there. I love mm-hmm. it. I'm not gonna rant that much about this movie because it's one of those movies that I always come back to on the show that like I love and I adore, and it actually gets better every time I watch it. So my pick for 2017, or I should say in general from the first overall pick, is from 2017, and it is Get Out.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. All right.
I'm starting to sweat over here. I'm so
Yeah, that was a good pick. That was a good pick. Yeah. Okay. So my second pick, I'm going with a horror film from 2016. Okay. And it's become one of my favorite horror movies in the past few years. It is this Korean film called Train to Busan.
Oh,
this
movie, I'm so mad at you right now.
This movie is off the walls insane, but I absolutely love it. I remember when I first watched this, I was taking a summer class, I think summer 2020. We were watching like apocalyptic movies, and this one came up, and I watched it, and it was, Kurt, it was an adrenaline rush for 2 hours and 10 minutes, and it was awesome. I never thought I would fall in love with a movie like that as much as I did. And, you know, I did. And then like a few years later, I showed it to some of my friends in college. We watched one night, and like, some of them might enjoy it. Some of them were like, I was going to put a second movie, and they were like, nah, that one kind of drained me. I'm like, okay, I can see why. But yeah, this movie rocks. And it's like, it's up there with Parasite, for my favorite films from South Korea. And so that's my second pick, Train to Busan.
What year was that? Pardon me?
2016.
It is 2016. God, what a good movie. Oh my God, what a good movie. But if I remember correctly, it is on Tubi, everybody, if you are looking for Train to Busan. The sequel, I mean, a lot to be said.
I haven't seen it.
It's different. It's not great. It's really not a good movie. but it's not a good movie. It's just a lot different than what I was expecting from the first one. That last 10 minutes of that first one, man, just guts me. Oh my God.
I
cry so fucking hard every time. You picked one movie, and I was like, oh wow, okay, I wasn't expecting that. I gotta think a little harder here now. So what I'm gonna go with, I don't know why I'm picking this early, but I'm gonna do it only because I want to get it in my team here. And there was only a few good movies that came out in 2021. Really the first kind of like summer of the pandemic when like things started getting back to normal, I guess we can call it. I'm going another Peele movie, directed by Nia DaCosta, pardon me.
Okay.
Candyman. This is a strange pick, and I know some of you are probably like, why the fuck would you pick this? Candyman, I think, is the best horror legacy sequel that's come out in the last like 5 years or so. And I think that the fact that have you seen it? I guess that's.
I have seen the original and the remake. Yeah.
I grew up on that original one, and to have the original kind of come right back to the forefront and actually be the core story and almost like kind of core twist of that 2021 version. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Completely caught me off guard. Didn't see it coming and thought it was spectacular. I love Nia DaCosta and her directing style. I apologize. I can't remember who the cinematographer was, but Candyman is my 2021 pick.
Okay.
Right. On to your pick, sir.
Yeah, I'll say really quick, Candyman, I think, is probably the most underrated horror movie villain. I think he's a lot better than a few other ones.
Oh, so, wow.
But that's it. That's a discussion for another day, but I just want to throw that out there. I think Candyman is a lot more.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. So, yeah. So my next pick, I'm going to go with a movie from last year.
Mm-hmm.
This movie that I could have seen at TIFF, but I didn't, and I wish I had, because I would have probably gotten a cheeseburger afterwards, and it's The Menu.
Oh!
So yeah, I chose to see the documentary Sydney instead of this movie, and I kind of wish I had, because our buddies Alex and Gall saw it, and they said that they went to the premiere, and then afterwards they got free cheeseburgers afterwards, and I saw another screening of this, and it lived up to the hype. It was really, really good. And it's really great. You know, Ian Taylor Joy and Ralph Fiennes, they kill it. It's from the team that made Succession, and I love that show. I don't know if you like that show or not, or have seen it,
huge Succession fan.
Yeah, it was great. Menu's awesome. Definitely one of the most biggest surprise of last year for me, and definitely an underrated flick. But yeah, that's my third pick, gonna be The Menu.
Okay, so your 2022 is crossed off now. That was what I was going to pick for 2022. But
yeah,
I'm going to go with a little film. And I would like to think that this actually probably, it's far more thriller than anything. And amongst our film community, I feel like it is so loved. And now as it's getting older and more people are actually getting their eyes on it,
I think
that it's slowly becoming one of this guy's most beloved movies in his filmography. 2010, Shutter Island.
Okay, all right.
Scorsese's like unsung horror thriller.
Oh yeah.
Who somehow, some way, didn't end up getting an Oscar nomination. I don't think he got any nominations for this thing. I love every time I watch Shutter Island, gets better. Now, obviously, you know the twist X amount of years later.
But yeah. Like,
Shutter Island is one of like Scorsese's most flawless looking movies. And because I am such a gangster Scorsese fan, and Goodfellas being my favorite movie of all time, this is such like a left field turn that every time I watch it, I admire it a little bit more because I understand what he was going for. Right. It's great. It's one of these movies that just keeps, like I said, gaining more and more fans as the years and years go by. So 2010 Shutter Island.
Nice. I actually didn't have that one come to mind, but now that you mentioned it, you got me there. Well played. okay. My next pick, I'm going to go with, let me see here. I'm going to go with a film from 2019.
Oh, okay.
This is a horror film from A24. Mm-hmm. And it's involves a certain Batman and a certain Green Goblin. It's The Lighthouse.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Midsommar.
That was actually my other pick for that year. That actually was my other pick. And
I am rolling my eyes at you on camera and being like, oh Jesus. All right, just get this speech over with. Oh, I fucking hate Midsommar so much. And I was like, oh, this is a pleasant surprise. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, but The Lighthouse. I watched this on Halloween with a few of my buddies, and it was a great experience. Then I rewatched it again a year later on Halloween, and I loved it a lot better. And it's a fun movie. It's really simple, basic, you know, very bizarre, but it's awesome. It really is. There's nothing cooler than just seeing two dudes on an island together doing God knows what.
I mean,
and Robert Eggers, of course, he kills it here. I think this is definitely one of his better directed films, up there with The Northman. Okay. But The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse, awesome movie. Somehow, some way. God, Robert Eggers, you're a brilliant man. Somehow, with an $11 million budget, makes $19 million at the box office, and then gains more traction on VOD, especially when the pandemic hit. A lot more people got to see this because everybody knows who Pattinson is. And Willem Dafoe obviously is like a very well-known actor, but The Lighthouse is this like really strange movie that on paper should not have made any money. And lo and behold, ends up being this like financial success for A24 and leads into Eggers getting all of this money for the Northmen, which I talked about with Gaius last weekend on the show. Robert Eggers is great. I can't wait to see what he's got coming out next. What a like a brilliant mind. A brilliant, brilliant mind.
Oh yeah.
Okay, good pick. Good pick. I thought you were going Midsommar, and like, guys, everyone listening, I gave Tyler the dirtiest look. Like, just like a vile look. And you guys can all come at me and be like, oh my God. But that being said, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of Midsommar, because I think his other film is absolutely brilliant. I got to go 2018. And again, this is also something that I was afraid that you were going to take.
You're going to take it.
Hereditary. I got to go.
Okay. All right. You got me there. That's one. You actually genuinely got me there. Okay. Now I got to taste my own medicine. I had that coming.
Love, and it's so funny that I have a love relationship with this, but I have a hate relationship with Midsommar. And like Hereditary, I was a movie that came out in theaters, didn't pay attention to it, gets to Netflix, and then a friend of mine and I one night were like, hey, let's just watch this, let's check it out. Blew my mind. Still one of my favorite films of like the 21st century so far. So I think it is actually a coincidence. I didn't mean this to do this purposely. That 2017 I got Get Out, and then 2018 I got Hereditary, and these are these two movies that are at like the forefront of this new elevated horror term, or I shouldn't say new, just reestablished elevated horror term. What are your thoughts on the use of this?
On the use of elevated horror?
Yeah, like how would you define elevated horror?
I'd just say like it's very atmospheric.
Okay.
And that like it always it sets the tone for the certain scene or a certain movie. Like I remember when I saw Hereditary and like that opening scene where like there's a droning music, and then we have that shot that pans to the right, and you see the house, and it's moving to this one room, and then it really sets this tone that that this is not gonna be a pleasant movie, and to say the least. And then everything that follows from there is just another series of unfortunate events
for
our characters.
We'd love to have our buddy Dave on the show to discuss the term elevated horror. He has a very harsh opinion of it. We'll leave it at that. Tyler, you are on the board, sir, or on the clock, I should say, for your fifth pick in the horror thriller draft.
Okay. So my next pick is going to be from 2013.
Okay.
It's a horror film that I didn't expect to love, but yet I do. Mm-hmm. And it's also got a good heart to it. It is Warm Bodies. Starring Nicholas Holt, Therese Palmer, John Malkovich, and Rob Corddry, I believe. It Romeo and Juliet, if Romeo was a zombie. it kind of makes sense, because the main guy's Nicholas Holt's character's name is R.
Yeah.
It's the letter R.
R.
And and I remember watching this, back when I think I was in middle school, and it was a fun movie to watch. I mean, I haven't seen it since I was in middle school, so I don't know how 23-year-old me would feel about it now. But I just remember going back to middle school and like watching this movie and thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually a fun time.
Yeah.
And I think Therese Palmer, I won't go as far as I got a little crush on her, but I did catch her eyes as an actress.
Yeah.
With that movie, and Warm Bodies, it's a good feel good movie. It's an unexpected, rom-com. So that's my pick, Warm Bodies for 2013.
I thought you were going with 2013's like mega horror hit, and I'm gonna steal this from right underneath you.
Okay.
Not much heart to it. A lot of scares, but not much heart to it. The one that kicked off the whole Conjuring verse, James Wan's The Conjuring.
I thought they were gonna say Evil Dead for some reason.
I thought about it, and
I thought about that one too.
I don't love that film as much as I love The Conjuring, but The Conjuring still to this day is the scariest in theater experience. Sorry, in theater movie I've ever. That didn't make any sense. Let me rephrase that again. It is the scariest in theater film I've ever watched in my entire life, with a packed house on opening weekend. And I have very fun memories of watching this, and then even more terrifying memories watching it like alone, like the Christmas that it came out Blu-ray. I just watched the third one, The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It, the other day. Lacks in quality. Still good, still scary at points, but I'm really, really, really excited to see the fourth entry that's coming out with Ed and Lorraine Warren, obviously Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is apparently going to be redirected, or I should say directed once again, by James Wan. So 2013, I'm going with The Conjuring. So
okay,
cool. Hexer.
All right, well, I'm going to go back to 2017.
Okay.
And on the subject of scary audience experiences, I'm going with the hit Stephen King movie It.
Ooh,
I remember I took my buddy Alan to see this movie, and he's my best friend in the world. I've known since middle school, and when we saw It, we walked into a theater to our seats. We were in the second to the front row in the very middle, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, we're in the second row, we're doomed, we're gonna get this, we're up close, we're definitely gonna get the spooks good. And yeah, it was a bloody good time, and it was just a fun, and there was a packed house too. Mm-hmm. So like that also added to the fun of it as well. And you know, it's a fun movie. It is a fun movie. I mean, It Chapter 2, I mean, it's a letdown compared to this, but you know, it was still a blast. I mean, the whole cast is great, you know, from Jada Martell to Finn Wolfhard, Jack Dylan Grazer, the whole Losers Club, and Absolutely. Bill Skarsgård killing it as Pennywise. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a great time. You know, I think if I'm looking back on my favorite memories of watching a horror movie in theaters, it's 2017 is going to come to mind right away for me.
It's funny that you say that, because I think movies like that greatly benefit from the bigger theater experience with a lot of people. And like I said, the first movie that comes to mind for myself is The Conjuring. And then it is in that same vein where it's like, seeing that on your own, like in a movie theater, again, or like even let's say like on like a quarter filled theater,
it still has
its establishing like scary moments and stuff. But man, when a whole theater of like 300 people collectively get the shit scared out of them, like several scenes in It, man, it just lands, and it's one of those things that like burns itself into your psyche. And yeah, really, really good pick, man. 2017, what a great year! It and then Get Out within 9 months of each other. You're making it tough for me now, because that was a really good pick. Okay. All right. I see what you're doing here, sir. Okay. I've got a pick from 2016.
Okay.
And I had one lined up, and I thought to myself, I was like, okay, I don't want to go. I wanted to do Train to Busan, but you screwed that
up. Yeah.
I have a kind of a wild card pick here, and I hope that my horror heads out there vote for me for this, for taking this. And when we do the polls online for the 2016 year in and of itself, I'm going Terrifier. Have you seen this movie?
No, but it's on my watch list.
Oh, okay. There's a lot that can be said before you go see this movie. I watched Terrifier 2 a couple months ago in theaters with a friend of the show, Gavin. Terrifier 2 is very amped up from Terrifier 1, but Terrifier the first is just something that I was not expecting. And it has burned itself into my psyche, just the gore and the like visceral visuals that it really kind of brings. It doesn't hold back, and it knows exactly what it wants to be. And it's a fun movie, but it is fucked right up. It is such a good time. If you can stomach a lot of blood, and if you can stomach a lot of like things that are really, 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 I guess for lack of a better word, visually disgusting, then you'll have a good time with it. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it. And I look forward to hearing what you think about it in a little while when you check it out. So Terrifier 2 is also 3 hours long, so get ready for that one. So
yeah,
your next pick, Ty.
Okay. Let's see here. What have I have not gone to yet? Okay. I'm going to go with 2021.
Okay. Okay.
And this is a movie that from a director that I love a lot, but this movie particularly is not super high up when I rank his filmography, but still, I think it's still a good movie. And that is Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho.
Oh, wow. And,
when I originally watched the movie, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Obviously, you know, I think the script is easily the weakest part of it, but then you got stuff like, you know, like Thomasin McKenzie and Anya Taylor-Joy and Matt Smith, you know, who are who kill it here. Mm-hmm. I rewatched it again last year just thinking if it was something different, but I still felt the same about it. Mm-hmm. But no, what I do like about it a lot is that Edgar Wright, you know, he chose to do something different. Mm-hmm. And you know, he knew it was gonna be a big risk. And you know, for a lot of people, you know, it works. It so much worked for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it feels the same for you, Kurt. But Last Night in Soho, you know, it's, you know, I think I hope Edgar Wright makes another horror movie.
So do I.
So he takes a crack at it, just because I wasn't like, I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by Last Night in Soho. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that'll be my pick for 2021. Last Night in Soho.
So good pick, man. Really good pick. I was actually very, very pleasantly surprised by that. Okay. So I'm moving along here. I'm going to go 2019.
Okay.
There's a lot to pick from in 2019, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of good, a lot of bad. I'm mm-hmm. going to go with something that I think a lot of people love, and it's something that, again, gained traction, pardon me, once it got mm-hmm. onto streaming onto VOD, and that's Ready or Not.
Okay.
You've seen Ready or Not?
I have not, but that's another movie that's on my watch list.
Okay. Ready or Not, the tale of a young lady on her wedding night, who basically has to be initiated into her family. I guess I should say her new in-laws and the family. Yeah. It is like super gruesome. It's awesome. It's a horror comedy through and through. I was not expecting what I got, and it's absolutely laugh out loud funny at particular points. I think it's like I said, it's something that like has gained traction, you know, over the last couple of years since it's come out, and it came out at the perfect time. Ready or Not, it's a really, really good film, guys. If you haven't checked it out, I always forget her name. I'm just going to bring it up really quickly.
Samara Weaving.
Thank you. See, you always got it. You got it for me, buddy. Samara Weaving is great. And I love seeing her in things. Most recently in Babylon, ironically enough, just for a short little time being, but was great. So yeah, $6 million budget, $57 million at the box office. Bravo to all those who were a part of Ready or Not. So that's my 2019 pick, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go over to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, this is going to be another thriller movie.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, we're seeing on the horror side. I'm going to go with Scott Derrickson's Sinister.
Man.
Yeah. This movie,
get from me.
I really wish I saw it in theaters. Oh. I was probably too young to see it in theaters at the time. this is a great horror movie starring Ethan Hawke, and you know, really I love the idea of it, and like the on paper it's a great film and execution, you know, it works. That lawnmower scene, you know, it really got me thinking.
Oh,
lawnmowers can be scary.
I think that actually might be the biggest jump scare I've ever watched in my entire life. There's another couple that like I can think of, but I can genuinely say that was the epitome of the scariest thing I've ever watched in my entire life. I think you and I talked about this when I posted something about it a couple months ago. I think you mm-hmm. commented on one of my posts for Sinister, because I love this movie. I think it's Scott Derrickson's best movie. But mm-hmm. holy Christ, man, that lawnmower scene is still to this day the highest I've ever jumped from any jump scare in my entire life. That's a really good pick, man, and I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
I didn't take it earlier. I didn't think you were going to take it because not a lot of people love this movie. Yeah. Going just a couple months after Ready or Not, ironically enough, I'm going to get my 2020 pick out of the way because there is not a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Lee Winnell's The Invisible Man. A movie that I didn't love the first time I saw it. And then when I was actually able to sit down and watch it again, because I think I watched it like 3 weeks before the pandemic in theaters. And then I watched it at home with my wife. What a fantastic mm-hmm. movie. The pacing is great. Elizabeth Moss is a knockout.
Oh, in yeah.
movie. She's easily the best thing of it. The best part of it. And mm-hmm. I always forget the fellow's name, but he is from Haunting of Hill House. And let me just double check. The Invisible Man. His name is Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen in Hollywood, put Oliver Jackson Cohen in more shit. Okay. This guy is a star. He's got the look. He's got the acting chops. He's phenomenal in everything he does. He's 36 years old. That doesn't even make him that old. I'm only 35, for Christ's sakes. Put this man in more stuff. I got to go with this in 2020 because I think it is the standout horror film of 2020.
Okay.
All right.
All right. That was one of my hopeful picks for 2020. So you got me.
All right, all right.
Okay. I'm going over 2011.
Okay.
I'm going with a thriller movie, and this is my favorite movie from that year.
Okay.
And it's I hope you like Cars, because it's Nicholas Winding reference Drive, and
Man,
Drive. I knew right from the first watch. I was like, okay, this is gonna be my favorite movie from this is my favorite movie from 2011. Like, I don't think any other movie could else top it. I've had a couple close calls, like Rango, but Drive. Drive is an incredible film. Ryan Gosling's fantastic in it. Carey Mulligan. This movie also my favorite Oscar Isaac performance before I saw Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's slow burn film. You know, if people thought expecting it to be like a car movie, it's not all of that.
Yeah.
But it's more to that. And you know, it doesn't care about being a car movie. It's just, you know, a good simple crime movie, and it exceeds at that more than, you know, it should have. So I'm going with Drive.
Well said, man. God, I didn't even think about that in Thriller. Oh, I'm so jealous right now. I'm so jealous. What a great pick. And the thing is, I'm on like a horror movie database right now on fandom.com, and Drive is on the list for 2011. So fuck you, fandom. Sorry. I'm very upset right now, in case you couldn't tell, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to speed through my pick here. I'm going to go 2022 real quick. You took the menu from me. Universally loved film from last year. I got to go with my number one pick on, and I did a post about this on Top 5 the other day. I think just shortly after New Year's.
All right.
The Black Phone, I think, is the best actual horror movie from last year, with the jump scares and the supernatural aspect to it. I think it's the best horror movie? Or the best, I should say, horror thriller? No, I think The Menu is, but you stole that from me. But I think The Black Phone in theaters was one of my favorite experiences last year. I think its pacing is really good. I've yet to watch it at home because there are two jump scares in this film that genuinely made me shit my pants. And I saw this on a Thursday afternoon, like opening show, 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told this story where it was like me and like two or three other, like maybe like 15, 16 year old girls. And they were ahead of me. And there's a particular jump scare that happened. And I literally went out of my seat and threw my popcorn. If you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I cannot wait till you actually have to experience that at home, because it is a great movie.
Okay, I'm going with 2015. Mm-hmm. I'm going with a movie that I saw the trailer for, and I thought it looked like straight trash, but then it came out and it got mostly good reviews. And that is it's another horror comedy. It's Krampus, starring Toni Collette. Who else?
Great movie.
Adam Scott. Oh my God, it's David Kochner, I think is his
David
name.
Kochner, David Kochner.
This movie looks, I thought it looked terrible when I saw the trailer for it. Like, this movie looks awful. And then I heard a lot of people saw it, and some people actually liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I went and saw it, and it was pretty good. I say it's like around a B plus for me.
Yeah.
It was definitely a surprise for sure. I'm going with Krampus.
Good movie, man. Really good movie. Krampus has like become like a Christmas time like staple for me, along the lines of like Christmas Vacation and, you know, Home Alone. And it's like Krampus just finds its way in there, and I usually watch it alone because obviously nobody in my family wants to watch that. Great movie. What a great movie. Okay, so I wasn't expecting that. That was a really good pick. I'm going thriller in 2015, and this one, I don't think many people have seen it, and I adore it. I absolutely adore it. Have you, sir? Have you ever heard of The Invitation? Do you know what The Invitation is? Not the one that just came out last year. The Invitation, that Invitation is really bad.
Yeah, not that. Okay.
That's a vampire one. It's like
Invitation. I'm trying to figure out if it's there or not.
Let me read you this.
I might have heard of it, but I doubt I've seen it.
When a man accepts an invitation to a dinner party hosted by his ex-wife, the unsettling past reopens old wounds and creates new tensions. I had heard one or two things about this film, and Karen Kusama, who's the director, made a film a couple of years ago called Destroyer with Nicole Kidman, and I loved it. This small little indie that came out, I saw it in like a January night alone, freezing cold, and I was like, I got to start exploring Karen Kusama's, you know, filmography. And this came up. This has already been recommended to me. The Imitation is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Slow, methodical pacing. There's not much to the film, and I don't want to give it away because I think that along with Terrifier and Terrifier 2, add this to the near the top of your watch list. I think you'll love it. It's very Hereditary, Get Out-esque with like that slow, really, really like uncomfortable pacing. And as it kind of unwinds itself, you start to see the big picture. And Ty, it's a fantastic movie. Absolutely fantastic. Every time I watch it, and I've said this about a few movies, I find something new about it that I really love. And really, it just kind of opens my eyes to it. So The Imitation is my pick for 2015. So we are coming down, sir. I think we only got a couple more here. I'm really
three excited. Left, I think. So I got three left.
Yeah, I got three left. Yeah. You, sir, have 2010, 2018, and 2020, while I have 2011, 2012, and 2014.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with 2018 for my next one. Mm-hmm. This is the other film I had in mind. I mean, I was going to go with Hereditary, but you took it. So I'm going with my other pick, which is A Quiet Place.
Oh, okay. I was going to, okay, you take this. I was going to make you a trade for Hereditary. But here's the caveat. If you take Hereditary, you have to accept Hereditary on these terms, and you can't take it back. You can't.
Okay.
Okay.
So if I take Hereditary, I have to keep it no matter what else you say.
Yes. But if you want to keep A Quiet Place, I'm forced to keep Hereditary.
Okay. You know what? You can have Hereditary. I'm cool with Quiet Place.
Okay. All right. I screwed myself. I did it to myself. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're dead. Yeah. Now. So A Quiet Place. It's definitely the most innovative horror film to come out, in a long time. I mean, I know Get Out was also pretty innovative too, but A Quiet Place was also just innovative, especially with, the sound design in it. Mm-hmm. Which it should have won for, and get nominated for both sound awards, not just one. John Krasinski, his directorial debut, he killed it. A Quiet Place, it immediately wraps you in. And like, it's all like, I feel like it was all one, the whole movie was like one giant third act, I feel like. And that's what I loved about it. And it's an incredible film. And it's, the sequel's even better. Well, not any better, equally as good, I'd say. Mm-hmm. A Quiet Place. That's my pick for 2018.
Nice pick, man. Nice pick. Ooh, okay, we're coming down to the wire here. So 2011 stumped me a little bit because there's not really any good horror movies that come out. I know I'm going to hear an earful from one or two people who listen to the show.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You guys are welcome to your opinion. But 2011, I want to go with a film that it's definitely not a horror movie. It's a very sharp thriller directed by, I think, quite possibly the one of the best working directors today. David Fincher and The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
Rooney Mara, Daniel Craig, adaptation of the novel of the exact same name. This movie was not a success at the box office. This was supposed to spurn like a whole trilogy with these two, with Craig and then Rooney Mara. The Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross score is absolutely electric. Like one of my favorite pieces of like musical score I've ever heard in my entire life. Okay. But for some reason, it didn't hit with the crowds. I mean, like it made box office wise $239 million worldwide. Not too shabby, but I think that they were expecting this to make gangbusters and it didn't. And never got the sequel that it deserved. There was another one that came after. Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. Is that correct? The one that came a couple
I thought months. It was The Girl Who Was Fire.
No, sorry. No, I'm talking about the one with Claire Foy. Hold on.
Girl in the Spider's Web.
Girl in the Spider Web. There you go. There you go. I think it was like 2017 or 2018. That also shattered out. So, but this is a unsung hero of Fincher's filmography. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And I'm going to go with The Girl with Dragon Tattoo, 2011.
I will say, I think I watched the trailer for Girl with Dragon Tattoo the other day.
Yeah.
And like, it had like this like even hardcore version of a Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
I think. Right. Yeah. And someone captioned it as like, it's like the best, it was the best movie trailer of all time in their opinion. And it got me a little curious. So maybe I'll check it out. So
It came out. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. You're good.
2 days, 3 days, pardon me, before Christmas.
So I'm going with 2010.
Yep.
I'm going with a film that is 2.5 years. Trying to figure out which one I want to go with. I'm gonna go with a film that that's an American remake of a European film. Okay. And I don't know if you've seen it, Kurt, but I'm going with Let Me In. Oh. And it's a Matt Reeves directed vampire film starring I believe Cody Smith McPhee, Chloe Grace Moretz, Dylan Minnette, and I think Richard Jenkins is in it too.
Richard Jenkins.
Yeah. And I watched this for the first time, I think about sometime within the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's like same thing as last time, so I give it a 3.5 out of 5, but it was still a good watch.
It's a really good movie.
the three main kids, Chloe, Cody, and Dylan, they're both very good in it, I will say. It made me curious as seeing, you know, what's Let the Right One In like, because now I'm definitely gonna check it out.
Yeah.
Let Me In. It was another hit film from Matt Reeves, who's very much so underrated.
Have you seen the TV show that's on I think it's on HBO right now, Let the Right One In? Have you seen it? There's a like a episodic TV show of
like a mini series?
Yeah.
I have not, but I'll definitely look into that.
I've heard really good things about it. Really, really good things about it. I don't know if it's on Showtime or it's on HBO. It's one of the two. But you guys get it down south on one of those two channels. And then we here in Canada have it on Crave. No, I got to give myself a minute to think about that year. Okay. 2014. We're going to 2014. Okay. I'm going to pick. I know exactly what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
And I'm going to follow in your footsteps, sir.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
Ready.
I think it was this year. Gone Girl is my 2014 pick. I'm going to piggyback off you and go in this like kind of nonchalant thriller, drama thriller. Obviously.
Okay.
I'm going Double Fincher. I got
Wrote
Dragon Tattoo 2011. 2014, I'm going to go Gone Girl. I think the better adaptation that he's directed. Gillian Flynn's novel, obviously. Affleck, phenomenal. Rosalind Pike, the performance of a lifetime. Adore this. I'm going to go with 2014, and I'm going to allow you to pick your 2018 or 2020 pick, and I think I'm going to sneak something in real quick for my last pick.
Okay. I've got 2020 left. Yeah. And my film I'm going with that is this next Netflix film called The Devil All the Time. For those of you who don't know, it's a film came out on Netflix that probably didn't get a lot of buzz, but it had a really sad cast of it, including Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Mia Wasikowska, Jason Clarke, Riley Keough, just a really, really big cast. And it didn't draw a lot of attention. And I thought it was very underrated. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Insane movie. I haven't watched it since I first watched it, but it's a great film and an underrated gem from 2020. So really, that's my last pick. And my pick for 2020, The Devil All the Time.
Nice. What about your 2018 pick? What was that?
My 2018 pick was A Quiet Place.
Oh, A Quiet Place. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. Okay. I was wondering. I was like, I'm one behind you. Why am I the last person to draw the cards here? Okay. All right. 2012. God, you cut my legs out with Sinister. I might forgive you another day for it. Man. What a good pick in a really shit year. Okay. I got to go. Got to go with and everybody.
Yeah, 2012 left, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's just not a good year. It's not a good year really for a hell of a lot. Prometheus is such fun garbage. It's not a horror movie. It's a science fiction movie. Guys, don't argue with me. Skyfall, I can't pick that. It's not a thriller. Mm-hmm. It's an action movie.
Yeah. Ladies
and gentlemen, I will argue that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with something that I think is the beginning of a really interesting anthology series, and some horror heads out there will really know what this is. I'm gonna go with VHS. Have you ever seen VHS, Ty?
No, but I've definitely heard of the franchise. I've definitely heard of it.
I'm gonna go with 2012, and I'm gonna go with VHS. VHS is this anthology directed by I think 5 or 6 different directors that basically is like almost like a Twilight Zone style, like short anthology film, found footage films, mind you, and it's fucking terrifying. created by Brad Miska and bloodydisgusting.com. So anyways, long story short, because we got to wrap this up here, is the anthology, every one of them is only about like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes in length, and they get progressively more terrifying. It is absolutely ingenious. They just released another one on Shudder very recently, I believe like right before Christmas time. Guys, check out the first one, VHS. And please let me know your thoughts on Top 5 Film Dive, what you think, because every single anthology since then, I think that there is now four or five, has gotten better and better. The production quality has gotten phenomenal, even more phenomenal. And some heavy hitters that are now working in the industry are people who got their start on VHS in 2012. So that is my final pick. Ty, let the listeners know what your team is, the movies that you have drafted starting in 2010, sir.
All right. So 2010, I got Let Me In, 2011, Drive, 2012, Sinister, 2013, Warm Bodies, 2014, Nightcrawler, 2015, Krampus, 2016, Train to Busan, 2017, It, 2018, A Quiet Place, 2019, The Lighthouse, 2020, The Devil All the Time, 2021, Last Night in Soho, and 2022, The Menu.
Big, heavy, heavy, heavy team there. Well done. Okay, I got Shutter Island, 2011, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, 2012, VHS, 2013, The Conjuring, 2014, David Fincher's Gone Girl, 2015, The Invitation, 2016, Terrifier, 2017, Get Out, 2018, Hereditary, 2019, Ready or Not, 2020, The Invisible Man, 2021, Candyman, and last but not least, 2022's The Black Phone. Ladies and gentlemen, how this is going to work is Tyler's team is going up on my team on social media. I'm going to post slides with Tyler's pick for the particular year and then my pick. Very, very, very simple and straightforward, guys. You pick whatever film you like more to win that particular year. On the next episode, I'm going to reveal the results and let everybody know who is the horror thriller draft champion for this film year. Ty, buddy, I love you so much. You're the best, and thank you so much for your time. I always enjoy having you on. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tyler Banark Reviews Movies. You can also find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Ty Banark Movies. I also write for CinemaSauce.com and occasionally for the Cinema Dispatch. Shout out to our boy Hunter Friesen.
Yep.
And then, of course, check out the League of Cinephiles and the Critics Circle on Instagram and YouTube.
Absolutely, absolutely. I echo all of those things: League of Cinephiles, Critics Circle, and Cinema Dispatch. So Hunter Friesen, you're my boy. I'm still coming for that title, but you're my boy. So ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up this episode. Thank you so much, guys, for the feedback for the last episode, the best of 2022, featuring Mr. Guys Bowling. Mr. G Reels himself had great numbers, great feedback. It was so nice to hear all of your top fives for the film year that was 2022. And I look forward to everything that's to come. To all you listeners, you guys are the best. And thank you so much. Till next time.